This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
407 News Talk 580 1059 KMJ. It is the day before Thanksgiving. Philip and Skip with you on the drive home. Joining us now, political analyst and smoked sausage ambassador, Jim Veros is back.
85% sober.
Well, you were in the car with that, so I would. Yeah.
What? But he is a responsible person, so he probably didn't hit that until he got in the parking lot. And after the drive in, I hear he might have needed it.
45 minutes from Hernan and Willow to here. 45 minutes. I stopped off because Skip called me out last week by saying that since I was one of the founding members of the Hickory Project, I didn't come heavy with the Hickory Farms. So
you came back with the big Hickory Farms.
I came back with the over-emasculated Hickory Farms box. But I did bring a concoction for you, Phil.
Yes, iced tea, right?
Yes, iced tea.
I heard it was like a ginger mix, like he juiced some stuff for you for your immune system.
Listen, it is a man's version of pumpkin spice. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm going to say, based on one sip, that's 60 proof.
So I went to one of the ingredients I may have gone to Nevada for.
Aha.
Because that version of that ingredient in California it has a not as concentrated value.
Do they sell diluted Everclear here?
Yeah, they don't sell the 190 here.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Okay.
Oh, here I thought it was he just wanted to buy the more intense pumpkin spice mix.
I was going with the non-FCC violation comment, but, you know, since once he went proof and Everclear, I might as well just rip the Band-Aid off of that one. So, no, actually, it is the second year I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Driving to Vegas once a year and then having a brother-in-law who's a truck driver who stopped off in Missouri for me during the year.
There's no supply chain problem in the creation of that holiday.
Oh, goodness. Absolutely not. Listen, global supply chain, I figure it out.
So, first of all, thank you. That's
absolutely
very cool. Now I got to go get a good bottle of some scotch to repay in kind.
Do you just drink that straight? Is that just like a sipping thing? Oh, okay.
Or you don't have to sip it. You can just forget Thanksgiving altogether. I'm just, listen, you do you. You know, I know today's topic was going to be, you know, talking politics with family tomorrow at Thanksgiving. I am offering something that will make you probably inappropriate, but not remember what you did so you can have plausible deniability.
And if the rule is when you walk in, you turn in your phone because you want the whole family to be engaged.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. There's like that game you can play with, like where you put everybody puts their phone like in the center and the first one that grabs it has to pick up the tab, right? If you go out to eat or whatnot, you can do something similar. And this could perhaps keep you from becoming internet fodder as well.
I'm not against locking out phones, but not because I'm worried about somebody taping me and putting me on the internet at Thanksgiving. I generally speaking will stand by what I say. Because I do this, and I'm honest with you guys. I just swear a lot more after my second drink. If somebody puts me on the internet, interlacing some F-bombs with some heartfelt opinions, we're all adults. But then you've got, and it seems to be specific to young men, somewhere around the age of 15, they start doing it and they don't knock it off until they've actually like paid enough taxes to feel pain. You'll be discussing something and they'll start fact checking you. They'll start Googling to like offer themselves some sort of a bulwark in their own arguments.
Yeah, and I know I have almost a three-year-old, and I know I already tell by his personality he's going to be that kid, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
My son does that.
Oh, but my father does it to me now too.
No, what?
Oh, absolutely. Like we'll be watching some sporting event, and a retired athlete is a commentator something, and I'll be like, I think Isaiah Thomas is probably around 56 years old. 50, or I'll say like, he's probably in his mid-50s or
sure.
Something. My father? No. Actually, he's 58. He was born 3 weeks after my birthday.
I've never...
He Googles everything.
Okay, so I've never had so much in common with a 15-year-old boy, apparently. Because I will Google everything, too. Oh, but it's not to, like, serve up, like, a haha, gotcha. I just want more backstory and like it's this weird kind of thing.
Okay.
But here's the flip side of having teenage girls. They just flat don't listen to you. Like, just you talk and they don't, yeah. Just they don't hear anything. And then you breathe and they're just disgusted. Ugh. Why are you here?
So,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with, because what you're talking about, you make a comment about somebody on TV and dad like double checks like, okay, well, he was born 3.5 months after I was. So that makes him 58. That doesn't bother me, because if we're watching something on TV, my wife and I sound like we're 1,000 years old going, where do we know that guy from? And she started the great.
IMDBing everything?
Yes.
I'm guilty. My God. Comes with the ovaries.
So
the package deal. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we started this program on, I think it's on Hulu, called The Great. It's about, it's a comedic drama about Catherine the Great's first, like, year.
Oh, yes. I saw a commercial for it.
So we've watched 2 episodes. It's okay. There's a lot of swearing, which at this point, I feel like if you need to throw the F word into everything, you're just trying to steal some of the thunder from Deadwood. But there's a guy who plays a Russian Orthodox clergyman, and he's got the long, heavy mm-hmm. beard. And it was, as soon as he came up on screen, there was no like, who's that guy? Where do we know him from? Because I'll sit there and watch him for a minute and usually play somebody. Nope, she's on IMDb. Oh, that's the guy that played Elliot Schwartz in Breaking Bad.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Would you rather try and stumble through and figure it out? Because sometimes there's fun in that, and trying to recall those random facts.
That sense of accomplishment of my brain still works. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I've hit an age now. This is going to definitely date me, but I've hit an, if it's a Dateline.
Uh-huh.
Dateline comes on. I'm 20 minutes in. Right around the 15, 20 minute mark is when I'm going to Google the person's name. And I'm going to go, did they get this person or not? Because I swear to God, if I sit an hour and this person walks, I'm going to be livid.
Oh, so you jump to the end.
I do. Absolutely. Now, I'll still watch it, but I will Google the victim's name and say, okay, this is where it went.
So
usually, sometimes I actually want to be surprised, but most of the time, like, I swear to God, if I'm going to sit through an hour of this, this person better get
something. Yeah. There may be some sort of satisfaction.
Right.
So we have you here, Jim Verros, political analyst and ambassador, voluntary ambassador to Hickory Farms.
Yes.
Voluntary so far, but one of these days, maybe, just maybe, it'll turn into a professional opportunity.
And moonshine's and possible moonshine underground.
Bootlegger,
absolutely.
Yeah, but totally in a legal way, because sure. Philip's over 21. So my question here then, since we have you in to talk a little bit about, like, the etiquette, if you will, of the holiday talk around the table tomorrow. Are we supposed to Google or fact check grandma or dad or, you know, I don't know, hippie cousin? Like, is that on the table or off the table tomorrow?
You know, I go back and forth on this, and I know we discussed last week. This is something that we were going to be talking about today. I think it really depends on how much do you really care, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell you this. I'm very blessed that I have a large family and in-laws too. And there are certain members of my family, extended in-laws, that I actually care about their opinion. They're in business. They used to be in business. They're retired. Whatever it is. And I actually care, like, hey, if we're having a conversation and we're probably disagreeing on something, I may fact check, not as an I gotcha or you're stupid or you're wrong, but hey, actually, this is the, you know, let's say we're arguing about electric vehicles, right? Well, what's the range of the new Ford Mustang, right? Or what's the range of the new Tesla? Or what's the range of the new, you know, Volkswagen ID4? That I would probably Google fact check on a strictly informational basis. If it's an I gotcha, I'm in a heated debate about if electric cars should even exist, then no, I've got to walk away from that conversation, because my wife will constantly tell me, you're going to, everyone knows what you can do. Everyone knows that you're around this. You're going to give someone a heart attack and it's going to be your fault. And I don't have time to put up with your crap. So that's kind of where we're at. My wife will stare at me and go, are you really trying to have a conversation, or are you just trying to murder another person?
And right there, she goes, our son really needs his dad for the next Thanksgiving, not behind bars.
Right.
I think fact-checking at the dinner table, just have a conversation. Maybe you'll find out later you're wrong.
Probably not.
Coming up, though, I do want his take on whether or not you can, say team turkey, team ham, and make that a political statement.
You're going to ask someone from Greece about turkey? Go ahead.
Wait.
No. Not going there.
It's a new era in News Talk, only on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
This is the afternoon drive. I think it's safe to say that we are unofficial spokesmen for the Hickory Farms Project, or Hickory Project.
Hickory Project, right.
And we are joined here by their lead ambassador, Jim Barrows. He also doubles as a political analyst when he's not doing this. You're joining me, Skip. That's Philip, digging in and checking out the cheese and sausage lovers combination. You upped it this year, sir. You went for the big bucks. Thank you.
Well, you called me out last week, so.
Well, I didn't call you out. I just told you about the conversation that Philip and I had that were like, ooh, he probably has Hickory Farm stuff.
She yelled at him and told him he couldn't come back without food.
That is not true.
Was that the most passive-aggressive push-off I've ever? I didn't say that you were a cheap ass. I told Phil, hey, I really thought he would come heavy.
No, why? Every time you come in here, I feel insecure. I meant that from the kindness of my heart. And it was Philip who brought it up. He said, hey, Jim wants to come in. I think he has Hickory Farm stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. Awesome. Anyway, you also did come with a special treat that was pumpkin spice flavored. But if anybody ever questions the manliness of drinking pumpkin spice, I offer this sample.
It's a hearty concoction. It's all made from the Lord's farms and...
Well, and you know what?
It's apples.
It's timely there, Jim Barrows.
Seasonal.
It's important because liquor purveyors from across the United States are warning, according to Fox 2 KTVU, that shortages on adult beverages could put a damper on your holidays.
I'm going to call...
Shenanigans.
I'm going to call shenanigans on that.
Really? You don't believe that with low inventories, in some cases, customers may not be able to get their very specific bottles of spirits in mind?
I think that there's two things in play here. One, this is a great cover for liquor stores or chain managers who forgot to place their order in a timely fashion with distributors. Two, this is a way to diffuse the picky bourbon bros who are going to come in and fuss that they can't get the specific vintage of Pappy that they were looking for and are now pissed because they've got to settle for some Basil Hayden's.
I really want to disagree with him. I'm going to add on to this. This is also all of the liquor associations adding another 15 to 20% of their bottom line because there's a supply chain issue when they literally have all of Kentucky in barrels right now over the last 5 years. All right, so you have to crack open a few extra to make ends meet. I'm sorry.
One of the things that they glance across in the article by KTVU is, well, there's an aging period for bourbon and certain spirits. Yes, which means that there's not a shortage because they started aging this Jim Beam 7 years ago.
Exactly. Now, in 5 years, in 10 years, you know what I mean? Like the stuff that you and I like, even if we do a blended, you're going from anywhere between an 8 to 15 or whatever it is. Yeah, in a few years, I guarantee some of the stuff that you and I like, the price may go up because there may not be as much available.
Sure.
Right now.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're calling shenanigans on Lansing, Michigan booze barn manager. That's right. It's called the Booze Barn. Daniel Mitchell, who is pointing specifically to aging requirements along with shipping problems and glass shortages.
He's from Michigan. I would definitely call shenanigans. I'm going to call shenanigans on this. Now, saying across the board that there isn't going to be a brand of beer or a brand of wine, but even wine, I don't know. I'm not going to be the wine expert on this one, but do I think that there's a possibility that there are some beers out there that, you may not be able to get as much of? Possibly. But I'm still calling shenanigans on it as a whole, though.
But isn't that kind of a normal part of the life cycle of anything other than ultra mass production spirits? I mean,
right.
If you want Budweiser, you're getting Budweiser that was made by Donaghy down the street. Mm-hmm. We make Budweiser here in California. AmBev is not making Budweiser in Milwaukee or wherever they originated,
sure,
and shipping it here. They're making it in, I think, in Tulare County. If you want Stella Artois, that's imported, might be sitting on a boat somewhere,
they'll take the label off the Budweiser and put Stella Artois on it. Nobody will know the difference, but go ahead.
Except that Budweiser is a more drinkable beer. Yeah. My God. Who knew that the Italians could screw that up that bad? That's right. I said it. But, and again, we go back to, like, you're not going to have a problem getting Jim Beam.
I was in Vegas the last 2 weekends.
Yeah.
There's no shortages.
Well, and again, that's walking into BevMo, walking right into Total Wine. Unless there is some kind of catastrophic run, you might not get precisely the bottle that you read about in Wine Aficionado. There's going to be a bottle of red wine.
Now, we do have some really good microbreweries here in town.
Wineries, too, that are somewhat local. I mean, like throughout California, yeah.
Right. I would say at least with, let's say we'll stick with beer on just on this particular topic of, if you are making a quadruple hops blueberry milkshake IPA, okay, which I'm sure somebody likes. Actually, I'm sure a lot of people like. There's a few people in town that make apparently a really good one. I'm not the demographic, but the demographic they're going after, they very much like that. If you're used to cramming in an entire Yosemite pine cone into a can and you can't get that pine cone, yeah, you're locally probably having some problems. Jim Beam is not having problems.
Well, and if you head to state, we're talking about being able to head into stores and buy whatever you want. Now, if you're in Utah, for instance, where they have state-run alcohol purveyors, Utah's Department of Alcohol Beverage Control is warning of shortages among those names, Hennessy, Patron, Dom Perignon, and others. And they just say, expect longer lines and make alternate selections because they might not have what you need in Utah.
So I heard three imports and a semi-domestic, and running out of Hennessy would be like running out of Jack Daniels.
I'm still calling shenanigans on that. On Hennessy, on a low-level cognac, I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, and yeah, again, step it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know, go for the VSOP.
There you go. I like cognac, but it's got to be cold outside. Cognac's not something I can drink when it's like above 50 degrees outside.
Do you realize that doesn't happen here, right?
Well, I have to go outside very late. Okay, you can drink all night long, Skip. It's allowed.
Hennessy, for what it's for, at Jim's house.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
4:35 on your Afternoon Drive, pre-Thanksgiving Day edition. Skip Atchaveria, Jim Veros, Philip Geraci. Join in on social media at DriveKMJ. You'll find us streaming on Twitch now as well. Also at DriveKMJ. It's not complicated. I wanted to run this past you specifically because I know that you, myself, and David Taub are the only people of childbearing age who still pay any attention to WWE.
I know like five people.
There's a couple other people that also follow WWE.
This idiot that tackled Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Was this a drunk jumping the barrier? Was this somebody who just got way too fanboyed out? And in the normal course of events, tackling a guy like Seth Rollins is just a good way to go to the hospital, right?
So here's the thing is that when we were kids, WWF at the time very much still had the sort of cloak of this is real.
Yeah.
Right? You were not allowed to say pro wrestling was scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And then through some steroid trials and some other stuff and whatnot, they finally came out when they changed the name and they went to World Wrestling Entertainment. So once it was, the cloak was gone and everyone knew the backstory of every wrestler and there were writers and whatnot, and the internet broke stories before it ever happened on television. Nothing ever happened by accident.
Yeah.
Right? So when this particular event happened, one of my buddies was like, hey, did you see this guy tackle Seth Rollins? And I go, oh, it's a work. Right? Like, come on. And then like eventually you're like, oh, wait, no, this really was a drunk guy that ran over there and tackled Seth Rollins. Now, you know, even for the first hour on social media, especially on Twitter, I was like, all right, this has got to be a work. This has got to be like a kid of a wrestler that they're starting to write for WrestleMania in April. Like it just doesn't happen. And it used to happen every once in a while. Somebody, obviously like when I come on the show, I always post a picture of Ric Flair. When Ric Flair and those guys in the 80s and 90s would insult the crowd. Every once in a while, there'd be some guy who had too many Miller High Lifes and would jump in the
chuck
ring.
Chuck a hot dog or something. Yeah.
Or jump in the ring, and then they would find out that part was not scripted. Right? Right. They would get boots.
My friend's claim to fame is when WWF came to town, he threw a nacho at the Brahma Bull's butt, and the Brahma Bull became The Rock, and The Rock turned around and called him a fat ass. Like, that is his claim to fame.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It's great. But the heckling, cool. The heckling goes back and forth.
Yes. Right. No, as long as, and I'm not going to compare this to another establishment, as long as you don't touch inappropriately, right, there's going to be a back and forth.
Sure.
Right. It's when you jump the railing, or it's you... I think when a wrestler goes, gets thrown up against the gate in the front row and someone like pats him on the shoulder or something like that, they're not going to do, they're not going to do anything. But if that wrestler were to hit and then the fan would then hit him, yeah, you're going. Like, and there's a good chance the wrestler's going to turn around and just punch you right in the face.
Is this the Jake Paul, Logan Paul effect, meaning like that age range, early 20s, everybody's looking to become like YouTube famous?
Absolutely. And maybe... I always hate having a conspiracy theory, but who is the person that tackled Seth Rollins? I mean, obviously everyone's going to know him. He's getting charged and whatnot. But if that guy comes up with a YouTube channel of Where Will I Strike Next, how many misdemeanors can you have? I mean,
but to that, you got that YouTuber effect where people will behave in obnoxious ways because, oh, look at me, I got more clicks. There are no WWE fans who think it's cool to break that fourth wall, to actually get in there and mess with these guys.
Absolutely not.
We're there to watch them entertain.
It's a show. It's a soap opera.
And yeah, you yell, you scream, you wave your sign. If the guy gets knocked out, gets knocked out of the ring and ends up in your section, yeah, you give him a pat on the shoulder, a pat on the butt, whatever, and off he goes. But right. When you start interfering with these people, You're going to make the fans mad. You're going to make the organization mad. And on the other side, is there anybody cruising YouTube for like, hey, look at this guy who ran out and tackled somebody who wasn't looking?
Well, and that's the other thing is that when this fan runs, tackles Seth Rollins, and then you saw all of the personnel jump on that guy, I think there was as many people on that guy than there was on the guy who shot Reagan. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they were on it quick. Now, if Seth were in the middle of that skirmish, were to punch the guy three or four times and break his orbital bone, you can't sue. So what are you going after? Like, right. I don't.
So I did a little more research on the backstory of this guy because you said, like, you Google him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a 24-year-old right. that was arrested and has been charged. Here's an interesting twist. He says that he has been plotting this since 2019 because he was scammed out of hundreds of dollars by an imposter who pretended to be the wrestling star. Eliza Spencer, 24, released a weird video earlier over this week, and some internet slew, Steven Zotto found it, found the Instagram account, and apparently there's screenshots that are up there from a couple of years ago that are supposedly between this guy Spencer and a fake account that was pretending to be Rollins.
So the logic here being, Jim sets up a fake Twitter pretending to be Skip, gets me to give him my credit card number, so I punch you at the
yes.
mall.
Yes.
Skip, you want to do that? No, so, but the wrestlers now are going to, they're going to be looking at the, not just WWE, but all the minor league and other organizations. Do you have to sort of look over your back now? I mean, look over your shoulder now. You know what I mean? Like,
I think so with some of the, you know, we've talked about these spoofing accounts have gotten people into a lot of trouble, right? Where like people are spoofing that they're getting inappropriate materials and whatnot. I mean, in this case, obviously, this guy was gullible enough to believe that that Seth Rollins was messaging him. This is like the, I don't know, a new scam thing, and then he gets in there and.
But this guy's a mush brain.
Yeah,
what do you do with
it? You know, my father let me watch pro wrestling as a kid, but there wasn't a time where he didn't look at me and go, okay, you know this is fake, right? Like, if there's a certain point in a wrestling fan's life where you understand it's scripted and I wouldn't say fake, but predetermined,
yeah.
right? Where you know that it's a show. It's not, they're really not fighting in the parking lot. And I think there are some fans who just never get there, and it ain't 24, it ain't 34, it ain't 50. There are some people who just are going to just not be able to flip that switch.
Well, look, man, if you got the hook set by when the earthquake assaulted Hulk Hogan, you shouldn't have to give that up.
Yeah, no, I got you, right? But, I mean, there's a lot of different things in wrestling as a kid I thought were real. When I was 9,
yeah, exactly.
When I was 10, not when I was 24, you know what I mean? Like,
does WWE do anything? I mean, other than obviously prosecuting and making sure this particular knucklehead doesn't buy tickets again. But, I mean, these guys are all 6'2 through 6'9 and built like professional athletes.
I went to the Raiders and Bengals game this weekend, and I was talking to a friend of mine that when I went to a game a few years ago, and a radio station there had two former Raiders. It was Bill Romanowski and George Atkinson, two just behemoths when they played.
Yeah,
and I took a photo of them and I sent it to my dad, and my dad sends me a text back and he says, "Listen, I know you're sarcastic. I know you think you're funny. I know you think you're cute. Do me a favor and don't mess with these guys. Even though they're in their 50s, they will rip your face off.
Yeah.
Please do not mess with Bill Romanowski and George Atkinson." And I wasn't going to. And that's just retired football players.
Yeah.
Don't mess with pro wrestlers. Like, just watch the show.
They're not normal people. They're going to beat you up if you go too far.
Right.
So if we talk about, though, this antagonistic culture that we have, of picking fights, getting in people's faces, that kind of thing. I think that there's a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram between people who get in the faces of athletes, whether they're WWE wrestlers, football players, that kind of stuff, and folks that will get in the face of, say, elected officials, teachers, that kind of thing. But we don't necessarily see it escalate in some of the same ways because of who's on the other end of it. Perhaps, maybe.
I also think that pro wrestling and politics have become so intertwined. And I say this as someone that definitely works in politics. I'm telling you, I think you're really on to something. I think that there are people who think that their elected officials is a character. It is a pro wrestler. If you're a Democrat or a Republican, and you think that it's okay to show up to their house, you think it's okay to show up to their work or when they're going to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, everything's a work, everything's scripted, but it's not.
But Miguel Arias, Gary Bredefeld, these are normal people. And I mean this in no way facetious, no way pejorative. They're unremarkable examples of human beings. They're normal size, normal build people.
Correct.
Screwing around with somebody like Bret the Hitman Hart is like teasing an F-150. It doesn't matter if you have right of way. If the F-150 comes into the crosswalk, your leg's going to get broken.
And I think there's a lot of people that are looking for that. I think they're looking not only for the antagonistic confrontation, but also maybe this person will hit me and I can sue or settle out of court. You know, I'll take a broken ankle for $250,000. You know what I mean? Like, I really do think that there are people out there that are looking to get punched in the face. You can't tell me some of the people that approached Miguel Arias in public weren't looking for him to actually throw a punch.
Hire a dominatrix, boys.
Coming up on 5 o'clock, which means we will have another check-in with your news. We'll do some traffic and your trending topics. And then it's one more hour of work before the holiday begins. Not that I'm counting.
Speaking of traffic, it is just now starting to get a little bit foggy out there. For us in town, it's no big deal. But if you're one of those folks who is on the road, just passing through on your way to the Bay Area or SoCal, hi, welcome to Central California. The fog is going to make the traffic worse. And if you happen to be near any of our fine small towns or you're passing through Fresno, might be a good time to stop and grab a meal because your drive's about to get a little bit longer, a little bit stickier. Don't try to go fast in the fog. And for goodness sake, do not use high beams.
And please be careful. We all want to get to where we want to go for the holiday.
So, This is one of these people. It doesn't matter that it's almost Thanksgiving. Tennessee man went into Little Caesars. Get a hot and ready pizza.
Oh, I heard this.
Charles Doty, not Doughty, Doty, 63, walked into Little Caesars in Knoxville, wanted a pie when he was told that it would be 10 minutes. He demanded free breadsticks as compensation for his wasted time, stormed out in a huff when he was denied, and then came back into the store with an AK-47.
Yeah, he held employees and another customer at gunpoint while demanding a pizza. A woman in the store who had received her pepperoni pizza gave it to Doty, and he left before the cops showed up. No one was physically injured. Peacekeeping woman right there. Well done.
Gives a new definition to Little Caesar's crazy bread.
So he's charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault. And because Doty stopped an employee who was trying to clock out, forcing him back into the store, he is also getting a charge of, I'd never seen this before, especially aggravated kidnapping.
Good. Good. Get him. Doty is behind bars on a $90,000 bond and due in court, faces up to 6 years. Get him for your temper tantrum.
Wait a minute. 90 grand, 10% bail, 9 grand, he's out?
Oh, no, but he's still behind bars. I don't think anybody's going to come forward and pay for it.
But just think about that. 9 grand, he's out.
Well, it's Tennessee.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it's like $9,000.
It's like the gas prices thing. If it was California, it would have been, you know, $20,000.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so you point out that just $9,000. We are talking about a man who was mad about a hot and ready, though. I mean, like, think of your price points.
It is good pizza.
It is. We pick it up when we're being cheap. Okay, but.
But he's now staring down the barrel of 60 years, 6-0, 60 good. Years in prison.
I'm not mad about that.
That's a lot of Top Ramen.
Am I like, is my heart dying a little bit that I'm like, good, you went in there and held up the poor people working at the Little Caesars.
Look, there's no argument this guy's a jackwagon.
Something. Way, take away his gun.
But you as an LMFT know that most often the issue isn't the issue. This guy's problem was not a hot and ready pizza.
This was the last thing to set him off. What happened before that?
This was the can of Pepsi.
Well,
right.
You know, it's interesting. I like that. We should play that song today, by the way, as our outro song. There's two things. I'm going to pull the guy up. Look at him. Looks like a dude who's a grumpy dude who just thinks the world is changing on him and he's mad about it. He's going to get his AK-47. He's going to show those folks at the hot and ready because you said 5 minutes or it's hot and ready. And now you're making me wait.
Again. No. This didn't start with, what do you mean my pizza's not ready? This started with his wife kicked him out. Or his boss called him a loser.
His favorite parking spot got taken over by a Tesla charging station.
Probably.
It's going to be something.
Probably
like
a shortage. He's in Tennessee where, you know, that there's shortages on the booze that are coming. Maybe he got uninvited to Thanksgiving.
There's no shortage of booze in Tennessee.
When you're asking me about what was the thing that led up to it, I think that this is right in line with the entitled angry behavior that I want it, and I want it now. We see it on airlines. We see it with folks, you know, in food service or whatnot. I think that now it's just like bleeding over into the hot and ready pizzas.
It's the Veruca Salt method.
But
it's I want a golden goose now, Daddy.
See, I don't think it's that simple most of the time.
Okay.
He didn't put the AK-47, my God, into his truck to get pizza. It was already in there. Because there was already something in here that was going wrong. So is there any mitigation in the sentence? Like, if this turns out that it really was just the pizza, you get 60 years, bro. But, like, if your dog died and your wife left you on the same day, do we cut it back? Does he get 20 instead of 60?
Maybe. Oh, you know what I would love? Like, put this guy in therapy. Lots and lots of therapy. He looks like he'd have fun in a class about his feelings.
Just remember, fine isn't a feeling. It's the Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. An updated headlines on the way with Jim Miller and Hour 4. Join us, wherever you are. But if you're online, head over to twitch.tv/drivekmj.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.